But few roofs had caved in, and most walls were still vertical. The corpses of the original inhabitants were long gone, mostly to the predators and carrion jaws of the surrounding desert, but their ghosts still walked in the opalescent morning light. The ville was heavy with the trivia of the last days before the sky grew dark, before the massive electromagnetic pulse circled the globe and wiped out every power source. There was a row of small shops, covered from what had probably once been a livery stable and feed store. Ambitiously named the Salvation Shopping Mall, it held a dozen miniature stores. Ryan led the way into the shadowed alley, feeling that he was the first person to set foot there for nearly a century. Barbie's Boutique had its window smashed in, and all of its stock was long gone. Footwear of any quality was always at a premium in Deathlands. Ma's Apple Pie and Fudge Emporium was next along the mall. There was a notice on the door, still legible. Due to lease renewal, at an exorbitant increase, we are closing December 30th. Thanks to all our customers, and goodbye. The lock was broken, and after Ryan pushed the door open, his feet disturbed a bunch of junk mail, dried out like fall leaves.
Gaia.
What, Christy?
Every time we find a place like this, I start feeling all excited. Maybe we'll find some real treasure from before the long winters.
Ryan pulled the door closed again.
I know what you mean.
Then you look around and there's always the same sensation. Dust and echoes and shadows. It brings a lump to my throat. You kind of glimpse people's hopes and ambitions and know they've all been dead. So long dead.
Want to go out in the sun again?
Christy managed to smile.
No. Ghosts don't hurt you. Let's look on.
Saucy Lita. Ryan figured there was probably some kind of joke in the name, but he couldn't get it. He tried saying it several times, but it still didn't sound like anything he'd heard. Again, the lock was broken, and he pushed the door open and walked inside, Christy at his heels. A printed notice on a curling card said, "Over 16s only. IDs may be requested." Another large one had fallen face up on the floor. Warning, this shop contains items of an adult nature. If you are easily offended, get lost. Christy stooped and picked up a piece of delicate rag off a broken table, holding it up against herself. It was made from black silk with some rotting ribbons and artificial lace. It looked as if it had once had elastic around the waist, but that was long gone. There was about enough material to cover a man's hand.
Is that what I think?
Depends on what you think, lover. But I've only ever seen anything like this on that blue porno.
It's a shame they've rotted. I'd have given good Jack to see you in something like that.
You'd have to give more than just Jack.
Hey, look at this kid's doll.
Ryan picked up the figure of an old man with white hair and beard, carrying a price sticker of $35.95 that read, "Naughty Uncle Fred, the Flasher."
What's a flasher?
Christy reached for the unbuttoned overcoat on the doll and pulled it open.
Whoa! Oh, God! Oh, so that's what a flasher is.
Most of the stock of the small, cramped store had vanished or rotted away over the past 100 years, but there were still a few remnants that gave Ryan and Christy a better-than-good idea of what kind of place it had been.
I just don't see how many people in a one-streetville like this in the wastes of old Texas would have bought anything like this.
He showed her a massive artificial penis in purple plastic. It was at least 15 inches from base to tip.
Not getting jealous, are we, lover?
A wooden torso modeled a white cotton t-shirt with the same slogan repeated hundreds of times all over it.
Tiny tits, tiny tits. We have the tiny tits t-shirt in all sizes up to 50 inches.
Ryan smiled at Christie's expression of disapproval.
Not getting jealous, are we, lover?
Salvation was sure big on muffler shops.
The companions had regrouped to figure out their next move.
We saw 5 of them with 2 launderettes.
We checked a few houses. They've all been cleared out of anything worth taking. Funny, though. Jack here spotted it. I hadn't noticed.
What, Jack?
Not certain.
Sure he's sure. Tell him, Jack.
Houses stripped recently.
Recently?
Ryan glanced at the others. Anyone else spot this?
Now you mention it, yeah. Think about it, lover. Some of those places had the feel that they'd been untouched for 100 years. Sure, there was some old damage. But a lot of it somehow felt like it had been done yesterday.
Fucking right, yesterday. Not enough dust around things broke.
Sure, I saw it too. But I didn't somehow register what it meant. Fire blast. Stupid of me. Getting old.
JB shook his head.
We're all getting old, Ryan. Except Jack, of course. Young, dumb, and full of cum.
At least mine still wakes.
That ain't funny, Christy.
If you say so.
Shit, like I was saying, I've been riding too many roads for too many years. The kid was... Sorry, Jack. Didn't mean anything by that. Just that you're young, and you got young eyes. You see better and think sharper. You should get out all this before you finish up like the rest of us. Seriously.
No, that's true, JB. Now, I've been thinking the same thing. One day. Yeah. One day.
They discussed whether it was worth bringing in a working party to go through the town more carefully to see if there was anything tucked away in any of the houses that might be of some value. But they all eventually agreed that it was unlikely. JB summed it up.
Seems like that Ville's been turned over in the past few weeks. Could be the people who were running that loco wag. Either way, there's nothing here for the settlers.
We'll go back and tell Major Ward and the smiling Elder Vare. Still be a good place to camp. There's that small creek for water and plenty of wood for fires.
Good place for us to leave from?
Been reading my mind, lover.
The lady and I found a poster tacked up outside a window. I confess, it was more than a little faded, but still legible. Was it not, Mildred? Legible?
Of course it was legible, you daft old goat. How the hell would we have known what it said if we couldn't read it?
Doc shrugged, grinning in embarrassment.
What did this notice say?
It announced a grand reopening, dated November of the year of our blessed Lord 2000, Anno Domini. A salvation to Silver Lode Railroad Spur. Closed all these years.
And the restoration of the engine house.
Then let's go down and take us a look at this engine house.
Must be that group of buildings to the west where the rails end.
That was where they found the first of the corpses.
The good folk of Salvation.
Yes, so. There were two or three of the old houses that looked like someone had been living in them. I figured it was probably pack rats, wanderers from the Outlands. Could be they really lived in the Ville.
The engine house stood alone. A cobbled yard was located at one end, with a huge turntable, carrying the rails where the loco wags could be turned around. There were a number of outbuildings, mostly in good shape. From the remnants of weathered signs, it looked as though the idea had been to deck them out as ticket offices and museums of the old railroad. But Skydark had obviously overtaken the project, and most of them contained very little. Very little, except for the corpses. The longest dead was dried out and leathery, giving an approximate date of a month or so ago. The most recent was still covered in blowflies, the stench enough to make Doc gag.
Oh, by the three Kennedys!
Death had been within 48 hours or so, not long before the locomotive had pulled out of Salvation's depot. None of the townsfolk looked as if they'd been given an easy passing. Something about the mangled bodies tugged at Ryan's memory. Deathlands wasn't a kindly place, filled with warm-hearted, rosy-cheeked folk, but it normally wasn't a place of ice-heart brutality. This wasn't a simple outburst of pest-hole butchery, no bullets-in-the-neck execution. These deaths had been slow and agonized, and a dreadful, racking pleasure had been taken by the killer. Expert hands had tied the knots and made the cuts. Knowing fingers had pried out eyes and torn off genitals. Ryan could almost hear the screams from the gaping jaws and the broken teeth, could catch the sound of hearty laughter at the tortured thrashings against the heated blades and the smoldering probes. Mildred shook her head at the carnage in front of her.
By God, there are some seriously sick bastards around this neighborhood, Ryan. Let's go.
Just a minute, Mildred. We gotta do some thinking about this.
Well, you do your thinking in this charnel house, and I'll go and do mine outside in God's good clean air.
I thought you were a doctor, Mildred.
Oh, thanks a million, buddy. Yeah, I was a doctor. In all my life, I never saw anything like this. I saw films of Belzen and Auschwitz and places like that. Man's inhumanity, Ryan. Sure I saw that. And I saw what the Knights of the fucking Invisible Empire did to my own father. So don't give me shit about not handling violence. I've just seen enough for today.
She walked away quickly, tears streaming unchecked down her cheeks. Christy looked at Ryan, and without a word, followed the other woman into the bright sunlight. Ryan bit his lip, and stared at the most recent corpse. It had probably been male, though it wasn't that easy to tell. Clotted blood, fly-coated, overlaid a scorched wound at the junction of the spread thighs. The victim had been strung up against the wall.